Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Houston, we got a show.
Go Loopos.
Landry Locker and John Lopez. You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader.
I love Houston. I love the stadium. I love the fans. I just love the atmosphere.
Sports Radio 610.
We do this for you. Y-O-U. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. It is Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Working at home with you, for you. John.
Yes, sir.
We asked for it, and we got it.
We asked for it, and we got it.
3 p.m. last Friday, we were wondering when Bill O'Brien would speak. I guess we got it, kind of. I don't think we necessarily got it exactly how we wanted to get it, but we did hear from Bill O'Brien, King Bill. We did hear from Cal McNair, and we heard for the first time ever from Jack Easterby. A lot to get into, a lot to cuss and discuss, but the one thing that we wanted to hear from Bill O'Brien, the reason that people wanted to hear from Bill O'Brien so much was because we wanted to hear him talk about the DeAndre Hopkins trade, the trade that was dropped on us about 3 weeks ago today, exactly 3 weeks ago, and we heard what he had to say. What is your immediate reaction to Bill O'Brien addressing the elephant in the room and talking about trading his best player to Arizona for what many consider pennies on the dollar?
Well, first of all, we do it and we're excited about doing this for capital Y, capital O, capital U. That's one of the takeaways as well. Look, a lot to, as they say in the radio business, unpack here, but you know, the sweeping takeaways for me were clearly Bill O'Brien was, you know, the focal point of this entire 3 p.m. Roundtable, I guess. It wasn't an availability per se, but it was a roundtable. My big takeaways on this is, well, obviously several, but the top line takeaway for me is they don't care. They being Bill O'Brien and certainly his brain trust, they don't care what you say. They don't care what I say. They don't care what people think. They clearly want their season ticket holders and their fans to show up and have confidence in them. But in terms of the criticism, the, quote, noise that they referenced multiple times during this little over 16-minute conversation that they had, 17 minutes, including, obviously Vandy setting it up, et cetera, was that. They used a lot of the verbal crutches, you know, in the best interest of the team, et cetera, et cetera. In the best interest of the team, I've decided, Landry, is Bill O'Brien's child, please. There's a double meaning there. He uses it as a crutch, and he uses it to kind of tell anyone who's not on board with what he does, child please. And we all know what child please, some people say that means, and namely Chad Johnson, but Ocho Cinco, but that's neither here nor there. The other reason I know that they don't care is there were some hints that they in their heart of hearts believe and know that they kind of got fleeced on this thing. They could not even mention DeAndre Hopkins by name. Three times it was called the big move with Arizona, the big move with Arizona, which the connotation mean, hey, it was big move with Arizona. No, it was the DeAndre Hopkins trade And we all know what they got in return and how little it was, and the criticism that followed on a national scope, not just you and me and everybody here and fans. It was on a national scope, the criticism they got. They don't care about the criticism, come hell or high water.
I want to agree with you, John. I mean, I think it would be in their best interest not to care. But I really don't know that they don't care. And Bill O'Brien has admittedly said that he struggled to block out the noise in the past. And he's addressed that there was, amidst everything that you're saying, he addressed that there was noise three times. I think it's in the best interest of Bill O'Brien not to care. I think if you're going to make the moves, you might as well be confident enough in the moves, regardless of how people feel, not to care. But I don't know that they don't care. I hope you're right, because I think it would be in their best interest. But I still wonder if they are going to try to control the narrative. And I think whenever you have your first public words in the setting that they had it in, I think that by default shows that you do care. I think it does show that you do care about the noise, and it does, and you do care about the message. So while I agree with you that, you know, he did say some things that lead you to believe he didn't care, he also did and said some things that lead you to believe that he does care, which is going to drive him absolutely crazy if he truly does care, because he's not going to win people over with the moves that he's been making. And if he does, it's a losing battle, J-Lo.
Yeah. What I say is they're going to do what they're going to do, what I mean. And he had the owner's support here. I started typing the notes when Cal McNair was discussing, things. And the notes that stood out to me were, quote, "It's not about one move." Clearly, again, kind of talking in code, you know, understanding the criticism and the backlash that happened with the DeAndre Hopkins trade. That's what that means. You know, it's not about one move. Basically, he's saying, you know, hang with us. We're going to get you there, et cetera. Then Easterby spoke, and frankly, I stopped typing. It was kind of...
Why?
It was just a bunch of, sort of...
At TJ Maxx.
Exactly. It was a bunch of that. When did a... Just side note. When did... Oh, these guys are playing practical jokes on each other. They're loving life right now. They're doing the best they can. They're sending memes to each other. When did sending a meme to someone become a practical joke? All right, but that's a side note. And then, of course, Bill O'Brien spoke and also kind of talked in code and finally mentioned DeAndre Hopkins by name, other than the big move with Arizona, and justified it in rather bizarre ways.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, John, the most amusing thing for me and the thing that I was most amused by was when Bill O'Brien blatantly plagiarized Bill Belichick. One thing to copy someone's approach, but he blatantly plagiarized Bill Belichick to the point where I think he thinks that he's got a baby New England going on here in Houston. We've called this Patriot South. I was kind of reluctant to believe that, but when you blatantly plagiarize Bill Belichick like this, this to me was the most entertainment value that Friday's teleconference provided.
And anything that we do, any decision that's made is made with the team in mind. Capital T, capital E, capital A, capital M. Everything that we do is made with the team in mind.
And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make the decisions that I think are the best for the football team. T-E-A-M as in team.
I mean, come on, man. I mean, you got to at least change it around a little bit. Like, how obvious can you be? I mean, you spelled out team like Belichick.
Oh, my God.
Like, mix it up a little bit.
And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make the decisions that I think are the best for the football team. T-E-A-M as in
He did
team.
It three times.
You know how you say Bill O'Brien in Spanish? Carlos Mencia. I'm just saying, I've heard that. I don't know if that's true or not, but I think Bill O'Brien in Spanish translates to Carlos Mencia. it does. And oh, by the way, you know, that's a veiled, thinly veiled, not so subtle shot at DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, capital T, capital E, capital A, capital M. You know, we're it's very much like we're here with guys that buy in. And he took a few other, you know, not so thinly veiled shots at DeAndre Hopkins over the course of the 16 minutes that I'm sure we're going to get to. But yeah, no, this to me was a double down in every sense of the word. How we're going to do it. This is our leadership group. You guys can just lump it. It was not a victory. You know, it was not a victory for the Texans. In fact, I think your poll is about to end here within the hour or so that
it
you
is
posted.
Finished.
It has finished. And this was basically like Reagan Mondale, you know, this poll. It was an absolute.
I don't get that reference, John.
It was like it was an absolute landslide. Ooh. Let me give you some context. It was Reagan Mondale. So they didn't win, you know, they always say in college football, you got to win the press conference, which I don't always buy into. Well, he's been here going on 7 years. He had to win this. He had to win this if anyone was going to change their opinion, and he flat out lost.
Well, I don't even know if it was a press conference. I think you're being a little generous calling it a press conference.
Roundtable.
That's what it was. The results in the question was, here on Sports Radio 610, after yesterday's Texans roundtable with McNair, O'Brien, and Easterby, how do you feel about the direction of the organization? Better, worse, the same? 5% said better, 72% said worse, and 23% said the same. So that's what that's the results of the poll that Lopez is mentioning. Let's hear Bill O'Brien actually explain the DeAndre Hopkins trade. This is what Bill O'Brien had to say about the trade that has a lot of Texans fans upset, even 3 weeks after it was made. Here's B.O.B. on trading Nuke to Arizona.
I would say the deal with Arizona was a deal that we felt was in the best interest of our team. DeAndre Hopkins is a great football player here. He made so many plays for us. We love DeAndre Hopkins. But he had 3 years left on a deal, and he wanted a raise. And we weren't going to be able to go in that direction. We felt like we had a great offer from Arizona that involved picks and involved an excellent three-down running back who is hungry and humble and just can't wait to get started. David Johnson is going to be a great addition to our football team. There's a lot of things that go into trades, a lot of thoughts that go in. How much are you going to take on contractually? How much does it take to, you know, that second round pick, that number 40 pick? You know, what type of player are you bringing in? What type of player are you losing? And what is in the best interest of the team? Capital T, capital E, capital A, capital M. Every decision we make, as long as I'm the head football coach here, will always be made in the best interest of the team.
Oh, my. I got to tell you, and this isn't going to be a popular opinion, but I want you to hear me out. I think as far as explaining the DeAndre Hopkins trade, he couldn't have done a better job. And that's with the understanding that I don't agree with the move. I think the move was foolish. I think the popular majority opinion is it's one of the worst trades that we've seen in recent NFL history. I agree with that. But if you are going to make that move, I think he went up there and told you everything you needed to know about it. Specifically, he didn't want to renegotiate with Hopkins, which, by the way, I do think is silly. He obviously didn't like DeAndre Hopkins because he's talking about humble and hungry with David Johnson, and he likes David Johnson a lot. So instead of just saying we did it in the best interest of the team and hiding behind it, he did actually give us details as to why he did it. And I don't agree with it, but as far as explaining what you did, I think that was the best part of the conference where he actually explained himself. It didn't make people less upset, but the guy who made the move actually did give you somewhat of an explanation as to why he did it.
It could not have been a worse explanation. If he tried, I cannot disagree with you anymore. We can get into this a little more in a moment, but let me just lay it out right here. Foremost, he said that he wanted more. You know, first of all, he said he was great. He made a million plays for us. He was awesome. Et cetera, et cetera. But we traded him, and here's why. He wanted more money. Well, here's why. It could not have been a worse explanation. I mean, if he tried, it could not have been a worse explanation. Under the current CBA, DeAndre Hopkins could not hold out. So you just make him play, all right? That's the first thing. The second thing is, according to SpotRac, which the NFL, I think almost all, if not all, NFL teams subscribe to SpotRac. that DeAndre Hopkins trade was extremely doable. Contract was extremely doable if they were so inclined. They don't have to be inclined. Point one is DeAndre Hopkins could not hold out. He had to play here under the current CBA agreement. But if you think that's a false, or if you didn't read that part of the CBA because you got a lot on your plate, I'll let you have it. Even then, SpotRack says you could sign Deshaun Watson and Laremy Tunsil and keep and restructure Hopkins' contract. I could not disagree with you more.
That was one of the worst parts. But you're not disagreeing with me. Let me just make this clear. I'm not saying that it makes sense, and I'm not saying it even shows that it was a competent line of thinking. I'm saying that we both agree the trade on the outside looks incompetent. But I think he at least telegraphed his incompetence instead of masking it behind a generalization that it's in the best interest of the team. So I think regardless of what
it best.
Because that's all he can do. Okay. He made the incompetent move. The explanation that would satisfy you and would satisfy me would be I made a dumb trade. Period. He's not going to do that. I think he showed us his incompetent line of thinking with the way he said it, which satisfies me, John. I have no choice but to accept the fact that he's doing it. I don't think that it makes any sense. I think you could have negotiated. But it shows how incompetent his line of thinking is. I think his whole thought process as a GM is incompetent. We agree on that, but I'm saying he's at least showing you his incompetence. That's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to make sense of anything he said.
That's not making me feel any better at all. Even if I were to buy that,
I'm not telling I'm not telling you to feel better about it. As a matter of fact, you should feel even worse about it. But I'm saying, as far as the guy that made that trade going up there and showing you just his flawed logic, he did it. He didn't hide behind anything else.
I'm gonna tell you exactly when we come back. I'm gonna tell you exactly what he should have said.
All right. John Lopez will tell you what he should have said. We're also going to talk about why the Texans should be calling Jerry Jones daily. You need to call Jerry Jones daily if you are Cal McNair, Bill O'Brien, and Jack Easterby. We'll explain that as Reaction Monday continues next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
It's important that the focus is the team. And I would think as a fan, I would be really excited that your leadership of the team can make bold moves and go out and do these things to make the team better and take these next steps that we're all looking forward to.
That one hurt. Landry Locker, the OG John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you, Reaction Monday here on In the Loop, working at home with you, for you on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez says he knows what Bill O'Brien should have said on Friday when talking about the DeAndre Hopkins trade. Let's not even beat around the bush. John, lay it out for the people. What should King Bill have said about the trade that he made 3 weeks ago?
I'm so glad you played that comment from Cal McNair, because that's exactly what I'm talking about right here. You can say we didn't get along without saying we didn't get along. You can say I didn't like the way he whatever missed practice or what was being selfish by asking for more money, even though, as I just mentioned in the last segment, he couldn't have held out. You can do all those things without actually saying it. Here's where Bill O'Brien failed and what he should have said. These are the toughest decisions in football. We wish we could have kept DeAndre Hopkins. But when we talk about the team, T-E-A-M, he was not the best fit for this team moving forward. That's all you had to say. Now, people would have still been upset because it's DeAndre Hopkins and he's great, but you would have made it very clear that it might have been a horrible deal, but it was a deal that we had to make because I'm in charge, as we've all understood, and I couldn't get along with him. It's like what Cal said right there. You know, you could have dovetailed off of that. You know, first of all, I don't buy this, but Cal did say it, and it's a good strategy. You know, if I were a fan, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said if I were a fan, I'd be encouraged that we have the type of leadership that can make these bold decisions. All right, you don't have to buy it, but you get it, right? You get where they're coming from. And Bill O'Brien could have dovetailed off of that and not thrown necessarily you know, all these stories out there that they got great value in return, et cetera, et cetera. He could have just said, you know, for the sake of the team, this was the best way to go because we value him. He's great, but it just could not fit here. That's all you had to say.
The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. John Lopez actually wrote a column on this. We're going to sit crisscross applesauce and have him read it for us at 12:40. You like that politically correct terminology for sitting?
I love that
crisscross
first
applesauce.
First grade story time term, yes.
There it is. You heard Cal McNair talk about the criticism in the Heat. I think Jerry Jones needs to be on speed dial for Cal McNair. I'll explain that in just a sec. But before we do, there's one thing that is certain. Bill O'Brien is aware of the noise. This was Bill O'Brien's first mention of all the criticism, the chatter, and the noise coming out of Houston following the moves that he's made.
We're very excited where we are right now. I think the big key that I've always tried to be very upfront and honest in all of my dealings with people in the organization, with the public, in the history of any organization that has achieved greatness, there's always been some noise out there. There's always been that type of noise. And you know, again, I would just reiterate that we are not trying to win in March. I would just hope that the season ticket holders have seen, you know, we've won 4 out of 6 division championships here. We know how to win. We're not talking about a 6-10 football team. We're talking about a team that wins and needs to get over the hump in January. We realize that, but we're doing everything possible to put together a great football team. And we're trying to get to where we can win in January, win critical games on the road in bad weather or at home, hopefully, and you know, in front of our fans. But we need our season ticket holders, and we're really excited about the upcoming season.
All right, that's Bill O'Brien. That was the third time that he actually mentioned the noise. You say this all the time. I think Jerry Jones subscribes to it. Just spell the name right. I think the Texans at this point need to understand that there's not going to be positivity coming from the fan base. There's not going to be positivity coming from the nation. So as long as – and Vandermeer said the numbers were good on this conference call. I don't know. If they look at that as a positive, I hope they're at least understanding enough to know that a lot of people listening to that weren't listening to that because they had their pom-poms out and their faces painted getting ready for the 2020 season with King Bill in charge. Any publicity is good publicity outside of – the obvious off-field issues or something like that. At this point, Cal McNair needs to lean on Jerry Jones, who was good friends with his dad, who has had a lot of good things to say about him. And I think they need to understand that this noise, the more noise, the better. You're not going to control the message. So they just need to spell the name right, J-Lo, like you always say.
Yes, I do agree with that. I mean, and that's why I think, you know, when I started that, I said, they don't care. They're like, let's go. This is what we're going to do. Just deal with it. We're not going to change lanes now. The narrative around us, the feeling around us is not going to change now. We have to get to a title game. We have to get to a Super Bowl. And that's the only thing that's going to appease fans. A couple of things to unpack on that last clip right there and what you said about the most listened to forum like this that they've had. They've never had a forum like this, for one thing. I mean, I know they've had conference calls.
That's just what I heard said.
No, I know. And I understand that. And they did say that. I think it was Vandermeer said it was the highest numbers that they've had. I get it, and that's good. But I don't know if they've ever – I know they've had conference calls with season ticket holders, but nothing like this with owner, coach, and executive vice president speaking directly to them. And the second thing is what you pointed out, a lot of this was – season ticket holders in quarantine, you know, in stay-at-home orders, under stay-at-home orders, saying, all right, let's hear what they got to say about this. You know, sort of like a rubbernecking almost. Let's see what they have to say about this. That we will never know, you know, individually, you know, why so many people tuned in. But what we do know is he referenced the season ticket holders a couple of times there, which I found interesting. That the head coach says we need the season ticket holders. Is there a reason for that, or is he just sort of putting on his pom-poms and saying that? Has there been that much backlash on him or whatever? Or was he just, giving a shout-out to the season ticket holders? I don't know. But I do know that the way that they handled this, even at the end there when they were talking to the season ticket holders directly, I can't imagine that that swayed anyone.
No, and I don't think he could have. I don't think he could have dug up Vince Lombardi from his grave and swayed anyone, and had Vince Lombardi write a speech. I don't think that was going to happen. The one concern I do have, though, John, and I agree with everything you just said, is I'm concerned that the noise actually motivates these guys and gives them some sort of vindication for the outlandish things they're doing. You heard Cal McNair say that he likes that a leader can make bold moves. How do you come to the conclusion that a move is bold? The negative reaction that you get across the
country.
That's the only way to measure it. Then you heard Bill O'Brien say that every great organization has had noise before. Well, so have the crappy ones. You know what I mean? Like the Detroit Lions, the Cleveland Browns, the New York Jets, like all the dysfunctional organizations, the New York Knicks, they've had noise too. So it's not just the great ones that get the noise. And Jack Easterby, we know Jack Easterby is a spiritual guy. He can turn any negative noise into positive just because his Rolodex of spirituality is right there. I'm concerned that this noise, this criticism, actually adds fuel to the fire for this Texans organization. And that concerns me because I don't know if that's going to make them be even more brash with the moves they make. But I think it's very clear that based on what those three guys said, that the criticism, maybe it's just because they don't have any choice, but it seems like the criticism is actually adding fuel to their fire. And I compare it to one of my friends. I have a friend named Taylor. And Taylor got involved like a few years ago in one of those pyramid schemes. And he started drinking the Kool-Aid, and he got involved in these pyramid schemes. And me and all my buddies would tell Taylor, we'd be like, dude, you're making a mistake. This is foolish. You got to stop. And the more that we would say something, the more he would go all in. He would take out credit cards and keep going in on this pyramid scheme. He'd keep going in. And the more that we tried to help him, the more that we said that you're making the wrong decisions, like trading DeAndre Hopkins for pennies on the dollar, or trading Jadeveon Clowney for pennies on the dollar, or giving Eric Murray $20.5 million, the more Taylor went all in and all in and all in until here we are 5 years ago, and the dude's 35 years old living at home with his parents and he's in massive debt. A lot of times when you're making mistakes and you take criticism, or you take people telling you you're doing the wrong thing as some sort of motivation and justification that it's you against the world, a lot of times before you know it, you're knee-deep in debt, or you're in salary cap hell, or you're trading all your draft picks, and you're putting your franchise quarterback in the wrong position. I'm concerned that all of this noise, all of this criticism, all this valid criticism, I must add, is just going to add fuel to the fire. And it might get worse before it gets better, J-Lo.
Well, I mean, at this point, they really don't have a choice. I mean, they've made the trade. They have to sell the value of this 40th overall draft pick, which, by the way, I mean, there are charts out there. Because one of the things he said is, and we have the audio, but one of the things he said was, you know, you make this trade and, you know, how do you value what, you know, the 40th overall pick? Yeah, there's a chart out there that values it for you and gives it a number value, and it doesn't add up by any stretch. The other thing that I can't even believe we're just getting to this right now, but it's an important part of it. Bill O'Brien was talking, you know, about the best interest of the team. That's what he kept going back to. You know, every move we made, this move we made was in the best interest of the team. How? You know, you just said he was awesome. He was great. He made a bunch of plays for us. Okay, you traded him. How? How was that in the best interest of the team?
I have no idea. I can't answer that.
How? That's a very simple question.
Well, I mean, that would be the one time where Bill O'Brien saying, I don't know, would be the right answer. Honestly, I mean, he said it to me at a press conference, and I thought it was out of context. But I think him saying, I don't know, would be the only answer you can give there. And, I mean, let's be honest, it wasn't a real press conference. So, I mean, he's not going to get there's not going to be any follow-up questions. He's still going to have to face the actual media, and hopefully he gets asked that in the follow-up. But I mean, I don't think anyone in their right mind can answer with a straight face how this trade was in the best interest of the team. I just don't. I don't think it's possible, J-Lo. But maybe I'm wrong, and maybe we hear that answer before the draft, which, by the way, is 17 days away. Landry Locker, the OG John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you, Sports Radio 610. Nick Martin, my goodness, Nick Martin, his high school deed drew the praise of Bill O'Brien. And the first words from Jack Easterby a year after he arrived in Houston. What did the OG think of the first words of Easterby? And why is Nick Martin like the four-year letterman at Lamar High School? We'll discuss next.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Localize It. Sports Radio 610.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make the decisions that I think are the best for the football team. T-E-A-M as in team.
And anything that we do, any decision that's made, is made with the team in mind. Capital P, capital E, capital A, capital M. Everything that we do is made with the team in mind.
There you go. Bill Belichick, Bill O'Brien. You can barely tell them apart. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Sports Radio 610 reacting to the first words of King Bill, Jack Easterby, and Cal McNair. John, you had a nice column, a nice little write-up on this, and I believe the title was relative to explaining the Hopkins trade, Bill O'Brien falls short.
This is correct, and he did. We'll get to that, I'm sure, here shortly. But I was sitting right where I am right now. I was typing everything as fast as I could, and I couldn't believe some of the things I was typing. It was pretty incredible.
We'll get to the important stuff, and maybe this is important, what we're about to hear. We'll get to the important stuff throughout the show, and if you want to weigh in, 713-572-4610 on Twitter and Instagram. I am at Landry Locker. Lopez is at Lopez on Sports at the Figgy Fig. If you want to weigh in and give your take here on the show. I thought this was one of the weirdest random mentions that I heard throughout the press conference. This was Bill O'Brien, unsolicited, bringing up something that Nick Martin, by the way, one of the highest paid centers in the league, one of the five highest paid players on the Texans, somewhat of a head-scratching extension that Nick Martin got last year. This was Bill O'Brien talking about why Nick Martin has impressed him the last couple weeks.
You know, Nick Martin, another guy that has taken some of the weight equipment out of our weight room, put it in the back of his pickup truck and transferred it over to his garage.
Okay.
What? That's something that you would hear from a high school coach. Like that. That is like that.
He's a great teammate.
I didn't understand that at all, John. Help me understand. Like, okay, so the guy took some weights to his like that. Is that supposed to get you fired up? Why didn't he have weights to begin with? First of all, why would he not have weights to begin with at his crib?
Well, that's true. That's kind of bizarre, but okay, whatever. Maybe he's one of those guys that has to leave the house to go to work. You know, he has to work out in the training room. Whatever. That's neither here nor there. But here, let me try to help you understand this.
Help
me. Listeners, the loophole. And by the way, I have it wide open right in front of me. If you want to text us questions, points, topic, comments, 713-572-4610. I've already answered a couple of our listeners, the loopholes. Get away from it all, man. Get away from it all and listen to us, and let's talk a little craziness and B.O.B. and football. Here's how I can help you.
Help.
You have to realize this was... No. I think it'll help you. I really do. This was a controlled environment.
Okay.
This was a 100% controlled environment by the Houston Texans. They felt compelled to have to do this, I'm sure, in large part because, you know, the other coaches and general managers in this division had already spoken. They were getting a lot of heat, and it was such a big trade, et cetera, et cetera. But they controlled the narrative. Okay. And by doing that, they didn't just – call it, you know, Vandy just didn't call everybody and start asking questions. You have to realize they had a goal. They had a game plan. Bill O'Brien had a game plan. They all had a game plan for the message they wanted to convey in this round table. And that game plan, as we've found out after listening to everything, was it's all about the team. We want guys that I like. We want guys that buy in. We don't want the selfishness. It's all about that, that, and that. And I think this story Bill O'Brien had in his back pocket and was ready to inject it into the conversation as soon as he could, because Nick Martin is one of those guys.
Okay.
I think that's what he was trying to say. And oh, by the way, there's a 75% chance, maybe more, that Nick Martin kind of was lingering around until he knew somebody or Bill O'Brien was nearby and he could back up his truck and put weights in it so they could see that he was doing that, because, you know, he's a team guy. That's one of the reasons he got that contract.
I still don't understand. Like,
they wanted to convey that message. We want guys like Nick Martin.
That will
guys
take
that'll
weights
load up
to their house?
Truck and take weights to their house. Yes.
Okay. Okay. I mean, it's okay. I mean, I don't even know what to really say about that. Okay. Great. Awesome. Okay, John.
They wanted
whatever.
To convey that message, and this helped do it. It okay. was a little bizarre.
Yeah, great. Right. So back yeah, I guess so, truck. John.
All right. That
first
that
one to get there, last one to leave.
That made me feel awesome that he brought some weights to his crib. I don't understand it, but all right. I mean, I just all right, awesome. the OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you, Sports Radio 610. This was also the first time, and Bill O'Brien said at the combine that he hoped that we would get a chance to hear from Jack Easterby and we would get a chance to meet him. Well, we did kind of meet him on Friday. Jack Easterby's first public words since arriving with the organization. He's now Bill O'Brien's right-hand man, but this was the first, I guess you could say public because it's public now, public dialogue that we heard from B.O.B.'s right-hand man, who helps him with everything from the salary cap to the personnel to the cafeteria to
hey,
all
the
other
was
stuff
mentioned.
That comes with it. It was mentioned twice. Here is yeah. Jack Easterby talking about why he's so proud to be a member of this organization amidst all of the uncertainty across the country and amidst all of the noise in the direction of them boys on Kirby.
The recent challenges of this COVID-19 have been met by an amazing response by a lot of our players. If you look at what Deshaun, what JJ, what Laramie, and Dustin, and so many of our players have done in the community, it's phenomenal to see their response. And so I would just say, during this time where we're all pushed away from some things we love the most and some people we love the most, this is a great time to really look at the kind of people that the Houston Texans had in our locker room and across our franchise and really celebrate the good things that are happening and then get excited when this stuff clears up about what we're going to have. We're going to have great people, great relationships, really hard blue-collar workers who get after it and hopefully make the whole city of Houston really, really proud.
Boy.
What?
I mean, blue-collar guys? You know who are great people in my book? Guys that catch 1,200 yards in receptions and touchdowns and account for more than a third of all the touchdowns you score. Those are guys that I like on the team. It's a little unnerving that the entire tenor of this thing was sort of a backhanded shot at one of the best players in the history of the organization in his prime.
That's how you took it?
I mean, he did it. Absolutely. Let me tell you about the good guys we have. Okay. You know,
I also think that the one thing that kind of showed, you know, validation to the reports about how Bill O'Brien was viewed by this organization, or how DeAndre Hopkins was viewed by this organization, was when Bill O'Brien said it's not about one day. It's not about one right. day, which I think to me, and Albert Breer even said this. If you read Albert Breer's Monday morning quarterback 2 weeks ago, he said DeAndre Hopkins was good on Sunday, but this is about the other 6 days. That was a shot at DeAndre Hopkins, where it's not just about what happens on Sunday. It's about what happens during the week, practice, all that type of stuff. That, to me, yeah. when he said that, kind of showed just what he thought. But as far as the actual Easterby side of things, you said you were taking notes during this whole thing, and when Easterby spoke, you did what?
I just stopped typing. I mean, it was kind of a lot of fluff about good guys and not to minimize it because we're all being directly affected by it. But, you know, kind of like how they're handling this current situation, et cetera, et cetera. That's not why season ticket holders tuned in, flat out. That's not. We understand. We don't want to hear about good guys. We don't want to hear about, you know, guys that are working out on their own, which is fine. I mean, it's fine to lay that out. It's part of the story. I get it. But that's not why people tuned in. He also said, not only did he say it's not about one day, he said it's not about one player. And again, if you just parse this thing out, every single answer had some kind of little, you know, subtle, you know, thing. Even if you want to stretch it with Cal McNair, you know, saying, hey, if I were a fan, I'd be glad that I had guys willing to make bold decisions. I mean, yeah, that's kind of a shot, too.
Is it kind of unfair that it's even being mentioned that DeAndre Hopkins wanted a new deal with 3 years remaining?
Yes.
And I asked that because of this.
It's incorrect.
Well, it's incorrect to act like you couldn't do that. But the reason I ask if it's unfair is because, and obviously that's what they thought. So they're probably telling you more than they probably should. But from a professional standpoint, we've seen it. I mean, one of the biggest offseason traditions in the NFL in my lifetime, you could probably say even the last two decades, has been off-field drama, specifically with receivers, but with players in general, where their contracts, desires, their contract negotiations, their lack of happiness with their organization becomes public. And the players are openly saying, I'm not happy with my contract. I want a new deal. We never heard a peep out of DeAndre Hopkins. We haven't heard DeAndre Hopkins. We haven't heard DeAndre Hopkins representation. We haven't heard any peep out of DeAndre Hopkins that led us to believe that he wanted a new contract. Maybe he did, but we never heard him make that public, ever make that public. And the only thing that we've heard about what DeAndre Hopkins wanted behind the scenes or why DeAndre Hopkins wanted a new contract has come from the front office. Is that a little bit unprofessional in your opinion, John Lopez?
That they're doing that and Hopkins is kind of taking the high road?
Well, that he's been taking the high road the whole time and that it was never public knowledge until they brought it up.
Right. Look, yeah, it is. And I feel like Hopkins at some point is maybe even say a little more. But that's just the narrative. Again, they wanted to control the story. They wanted to make the story what they wanted it to be. And there's another part about this, you know, in terms of like kind of spinning the value you got in return. I spoke up earlier about, you know, how they all of a sudden you can't, you know, the value you're getting at the number 40 overall pick, it ain't that much. And then the other part about it that I think sort of slid through the cracks, maybe even was a nobody's talking about this whole thing, just like emphatically saying we got ourselves a three down back in David Johnson. Every statistic says you did not get a three down back. In fact, can I interest you in a stat?
Yes.
Because we all know what numbers are.
Numbers are hot.
Over the last nine games of the 2019 season, yeah, last season, the most snaps that David Johnson took in a game was 70. Over the last seven games, the most snaps he took from scrimmage was 43%. 70% versus 43%. He's a two-down back. He's a specialist that they're going to try to fit into a three-down back rotation. That's just factually incorrect that David Johnson is a three-down back, but that's what they're controlling. That's the story they're trying to sell.
I mean, it seems like the plan is going to be to run him into the ground. You heard Bill O'Brien talk about winning in January and when
that.
The weather gets bad. Well, I'm telling you what the plan is. I'm not telling you it's a good plan.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you that, you know, he's talking about bad weather. He's talking about January. He's talking about three-down back. I mean, it just seems like the plan is going to be give David Johnson the rock 20, 25 times and see what happens. I'm not saying it's a good plan. I'm just telling you they're kind of telegraphing you and letting you know what their vision is with this team right now.
It's pretty bizarre. it really is because even if you want to go to 2018, he never took, you know, more than about 60-70% of the snaps, and of course it's gone gradually down from there. So I don't know. Again, they're trying to tell a story in their words, which all the information we have and all the statistical information we have says otherwise.
From the Easterby point of view, the first words that we heard from Jack Easterby on Friday, I think it's just fair to just judge Jack Easterby based on what has happened since he arrived with the organization. I think that is the most fair, objective way to judge Jack Easterby.
And he's had that big impact.
If you look at what has happened since Jack Easterby arrived about a year and a week ago, Brian Gain's been fired. Chris Olsen's been fired. He took on their responsibilities, according to Bill O'Brien, or some of their responsibilities. He helps with personnel, and he helps with the salary cap. So he's helped that. They've made the Clowney trade. They've made the Hopkins trade. And they've had this offseason and made all the other trades Bill O'Brien has made. So just as far as what has happened since Easterby became a part of this front office, I mean, at the very least, there's been a lot more for us to talk about. But if that's all I'm supposed to judge him on, I mean, I think you got to wonder, you know, what the impact of Easterby is. He doesn't sound like when he talks, when you hear a GM's right-hand guy or a coach's right-hand guy, typically it sounds like more like a Nick Caserio or like a Will McClay in Dallas, like a football guy. Easterby sounds like a guy that belongs with an NFL organization. And again, maybe he does more than we know, and maybe there's a little bit more to it. But as far as just judging him at the podium, and I am the podium critic, I didn't hear Jack Easterby and say, you know what, this sounds like a guy that, as John McClain tells us, Bill O'Brien is really a big asset to Bill O'Brien when he's watching tape, controlling personnel and all that stuff. I felt like he's a guy who can maybe motivate, who can maybe do some team building. But as far as all the stuff we hear him saying, I didn't listen to that and get the feel that, you know, this is a guy that you should feel really good about making personnel decisions and all that type of stuff. That's just me.
Well, I get it. We have to be fair, though, and to be fair, you don't have to be a former player or former coach to be really good in personnel.
You don't.
You just don't. There's a lot of great ones that were just analysts, you know, and they learned the game and it turned out to be great. So I want to be fair there. That said, you just laid out all the moves, and if you just said
real quick, that has happened,
good or bad, if you just said good or bad, and I'm not talking about just for the product on the field, but just for the organization and the direction it's going, a lot of those check marks are going to be on the bad side.
Yeah, I mean, and you've I mean, you talk about alignment. You know, we were talking about alignment for, you know, a year when Brian Gain was here. He's gone. Olsen's gone, and, you know, according to BOB at the combine, Easterby's the one taking on those tasks. So he's got a lot going on. Again, some good quotes, but just judging on the surface of stuff that's actually happened, I think it has a lot of people feeling uncertain around the city, and I think it has myself, and I don't want to speak for you, J-Lo, but you as well feeling a little bit uncertain about the direction this organization is going.
Exactly.
It's the OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Let's get the other side, though. Let's get the other perspective of this press conference. The alleged BOB burner account has spoken on all of the topics that we've already talked about. We'll hear from the BOB fake burner account next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.